Thank you, Tim. Today's scripture is taken from Exodus 20, 12 through 17. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Two weeks ago, we discussed the first part of the commandment.
There's only one God. You can't have any idols. No other God shall we have. Do not make wrongful use of God's name. In other words, don't say that we're going to do something in God's name that's harmful to others. And remember the Sabbath. For one day, just one day a week, don't do anything. Don't have your employees do anything. Don't have your animals do anything but rest. Now, there are several parts of the verses that I skimmed over, and y'all are so smart you caught it. And I was hoping nobody was going to catch it, Martha Harris. But I skimmed over a pretty important part of one, and it's be in the whole if you have idols other than God. If we place anything other than God at the center of our being, then God will punish our children to the fourth generation. I skimmed so quickly over that one because, well, we don't like it so much. I rephrased it to say there's not an abundance of life for us if we place non-living material items at the center of our lives. It is when we place the living God at the center that we have an abundance of life that we then teach to our children and they to the next generation. We don't like to think about or talk about God punishing us or anyone else. Maybe sometimes we want God to punish somebody else, but we really don't like God to punish us. The Ten Commandments come right after God and the people have made a covenant. God claims the people, and the people claim God as God, not the idols that everyone else is worshiping. The Israelites are to worship the giver of life, the creator of all things. But if they walk away from God at this point, if they walk away and worship a stone idol, well, those generations will live outside of the community of God's people. That in itself is punishment. It's a tough part of the have no idols commandment. The whole God is God, no idols, no using God's name. If harm is going to come to any part of God's creation, in other words, we exclude you in the name of God. Keep one day a week holy, one day a week you rest. Seriously, one day we rest. The Israelites could probably do this, but we live in the age of cell phones where people have access to us 24/7. We live in an age where we want to shop every day of the week or eat out or fly somewhere or buy gas for our cars on any given day. People have to work. But maybe the Sabbath doesn't have to be the same day for everyone. Still, I'm glad to put the first commandments behind us and move along to the next ones, which are much easier. Honor your mother and father. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie about your neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's house. And don't covet your neighbor's spouse, servants, ox, donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. See what I mean? These are a piece of cake, which is good because it's still a holiday weekend. And I'm pretty sure you're not in the mood for a heavy come-to-Jesus kind of sermon. Of course, we do need to acknowledge that there are a few problems with these last commandments, just a few little sticky areas. The honor your father and your mother. It was really directed toward caring for your parents as they got older. In other words, caring for the most vulnerable. The elderly were not able to contribute to the community as much as they could in younger years, so in a nomadic community, it would be real easy if mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa can't keep up, it'd be real easy to leave them at the last stop and just keep going. God says, when you live as my people, you will even care for the elderly. Not a bad commandment. But over the years, this commandment has been used in such a way that those who had been abused by their parents were told they still needed to honor their parents. I don't believe that God expects those who have been abused to honor those who have abused them. This is a commandment to a community. Remember that. These commandments are to communities, not to individuals. We are to care for the vulnerable, the elderly in our midst, as a community. A very good commandment, but it does sound different in the ears of those who have been harmed by their fathers or their mothers. So let's go to the next one. It'll be much easier. You shall not murder. We can't go wrong on that one. We can all agree this is a great commandment. Unless we want to discuss war, abortion, capital punishment. Not such an easy commandment when we start to discuss it, is it? This commandment was probably directed at premeditated killing of an individual out of anger, our neighbor, but it's not an easy commandment at all. You shall not commit adultery. Surely there's no argument on this one. Good commandment, easy commandment, not a whole lot of issues. Of course, in the time of the Old Testament, this meant that a woman could not have sex with any other male. The males, on the other hand, could have sex with another woman as long as she was not married, meaning she was not the property of someone else. Now, if she was a slave and the property of someone else, that doesn't matter because a woman and a slave, it just, that doesn't mean anything. So, yeah, there's a myriad of issues in this one also. You shall not steal. Okay. Finally, one we can agree on. There's no issues. Stealing is wrong. Don't take anything that does not belong to you. Of course, in the Old Testament, stealing also meant to enslave someone else. In other words, don't steal, don't oppress, don't take things that don't belong to you, don't do things that will enslave or oppress your neighbor, don't take things that belong to your neighbor. Well, that one should give us pause. So let's move along. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie about your neighbor. Don't make up rumors about your neighbor. Once we lie about our neighbor, the trust within community begins to disintegrate. Don't participate in gossip about your neighbor. You know, well, I heard that those kind of people kill each other all the time. Well, I heard that those kind of people are just lazy. God says, don't do it. Don't tell lies about the people whom God has created. And don't covet anything that your neighbor owns. Not your neighbor's spouse, children, animals, cars, houses, TVs, boats, money, job. Boat this time of year is a really hard one for me. So, bicycle, just saying, Pat. Anyway, the club, nothing. Do not desire to have what belongs to your neighbor or your parishioners, obviously. It leads to trouble if we do. If we don't desire what our neighbor owns, then there's a real good chance we won't lie about them, steal from them, or kill them. But honestly, that coveting part is really hard. Whether you're rich or poor, coveting comes into play, but God says, don't do it. So there we have it. Well, we only have 10 commandments listed here, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago. There are hundreds more. Remember, there's the whole book of Leviticus that's filled with every rule that you could imagine. Which is probably why Jesus was asked which commandment is the greatest. And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind or your might. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. I think Jesus was pretty smart in his answer on this one. Instead of getting into what is murder and what isn't, what exactly does it mean to steal from someone? Is it okay for the male part of the population to have sex with anyone and the female's not? What if we covet but we don't act on it? We don't steal, we don't kill, we just desire? Is that okay? Jesus avoided having to have discussions debating the ultimate meanings of these commandments. Brilliant. It's a piece of cake. Just love God. Check. Love your neighbor as yourself. Check. This is crazy easy, right? Brian and I have the best neighbors here in Minneapolis. We love them. We love God. Brian, we can both check it off our list and sit back and relax. I know we're not the only ones that feel this way. So thank you, Jesus, for that. If it was only that easy, though. So when we look at how Jesus loved, then I think I understand people's obsession with the Ten Commandments. For if we only had to carry out those ten, life would be so easy. If we want to follow Jesus and love God and love neighbor through his life, though, our lives just became a little more complicated than Ten Commandments posted in a building. I know that you've heard on the news, as Dan referenced, the 52,000 children from Central America and Mexico who have crossed our border since October. They're expecting by October of this year, over 70,000 children will have crossed. I grew up in a town of 40,000. 52,000 children have crossed. More children than the town I grew up in. Many of them completely alone, most without a parent or an adult. From my many years of living in Texas, the border and the many issues that surround it is just a way of life for Texans. It has been a way of life for our denomination, too. We have an incredible ministry on the border in South Texas called Southwest Good Samaritan Ministries. I've mentioned Filiberto and his ministry before. Right now, that ministry is overwhelmed with the demands of helping the homeless, the refugee, the stranger, our neighbors. This past week, Filiberto sent a letter to his board sharing that it has been a stressful week in the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, with thousands of children crossing the border. He has received countless phone calls from desperate mothers trying to find information about their children. On top of the children, there are 20 to 40 political refugees arriving daily, many of them from Cuba. Our ministry on the border is not authorized to house children, only to house adults. But if a meal is needed, a meal is given. If medical care is needed, medical care is given. No questions asked of the least of these children in our midst, who are probably in the homes of many members of our churches on the border. The articles in the Dallas and Fort Worth area newspapers have been filled with organizations who are opening up their facilities to house the children, for they will be sending the children up into the North Texas area also. Communities are finding ways to care for the children until there is another solution. Mayors are working together. Churches are working together. Now, is this being done without opposition and differences of opinion? Absolutely not. But until a better solution can be determined, many communities, most churches in Texas, are choosing to love their neighbor and care for the least of these in the meantime. Loving our neighbor isn't quite as easy as you shall not murder, is it? There are no easy answers. Both sides and all the sides in between of any given issue, including the immigration issue, have valid points. Hear me again. Both sides, all sides in between, have valid points. All sides have people who are speaking from a point of compassion. Somewhere in the midst of all of our talking, we are still called to love God with every part of our being and to love neighbor as ourselves. Love our neighbor's children as we love our children. Who would have ever thought the Ten Commandments would be 1,000 times easier to follow than Jesus' command to love God, love neighbor, and to love one another as he loved us? I now understand people who are obsessed with the Ten Commandments and want it plastered all over creation. Life would be 1,000 times easier. Seriously, if we only had to follow those first 10 commandments, we wouldn't have to struggle with what it means to love neighbor, how to love neighbor, who is our neighbor. We just wouldn't covet or desire anything our neighbor has. We wouldn't lie. We wouldn't steal, commit adultery. We would care for the elderly. We would keep one day of the week holy. We would not do anything in God's name that harms any part of creation. We wouldn't create other idols. No making anything more holy than God. That's all. Or we can walk with Jesus into a world that causes us to eat with sinners, the others, touch lepers, touch the untouchables, break prevailing rules of the day, care for the least of these, and struggle, really struggle, with what does it mean to love God and love neighbor as self. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But I'm pretty sure Jesus did not take an easy path when he showered God's grace on every one of us. Amen.